So we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the fourth chapter, the famous verse, Janma Karma Same Divyam. I just have to find which number it is. Janma karma same divyam.
Janma karma same divyam.
Evam yuvitti tattvatah.
Evam yuvitti tattvatah.
Chakta deham punarjanma.
Chakta deham punarjanma.
Naiti mammeti surjuna.
Naiti mammeti surjuna.
Janma karma same divyam.
Janma karma same divyam.
Evam yuvetti tattvatah.
Evam yuvetti tattvatah.
Chakta deham punarjanma.
Chakta deham punarjanma.
Naiti mammeti sojana.
Naiti mammeti sojana.
Anyone wants to try?
Janma karma same nityam.
Janma karma same nityam. Evam yuvetti
tattvatah.
Yatva deham punarjanma.
Naiti mammeti sojana.
Naiti mammeti sojana.
Very nice. Janma.
Janma.
Birth.
Birth.
Karma.
Karma.
Work.
Work.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Me.
Me.
Of mine.
Of mine.
Divyam.
Divyam.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Evam.
Evam.
Like this.
Like this.
Yaha.
Yaha.
Anyone who.
Anyone who.
Viti.
Viti.
Knows.
Knows.
Tattvataha.
Tattvataha.
In reality.
Tyaktva,
leaving aside,
deham,
this body,
puna,
again,
janma,
birth,
na,
never,
iti,
thus attain,
ma,
unto me,
iti,
thus attain.
Saha,
he,
Arjuna,
O Arjuna.
Arjuna.
Translation. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body, and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam Achyutim Anadim Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, there is still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. The purport continues, but I'll start to comment from this part. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yunanana Salakaya Sakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutupada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tata Kansa Nagaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patrubhyacha Sakripa Sunubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare
Ah, habe ich doch. Ja. Da unten. Das ist versteckt. Ist gut.
So, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in this world and apparently takes birth. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Kunti Devi is describing like that. She is saying, how amazing it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears to take birth and at the same time does not take birth. How amazing is it that he is performing work and yet at the same time is not performing work. So here we are seeing a description of Janma Karma, of the birth and the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who neither takes birth nor ever does any work. So it says one has to understand the nature of the birth and the work of the Lord, but the Lord doesn't take birth and he doesn't work. So how can we understand this? We have a problem here. Yes? He doesn't take birth. He just appears like the sun. He appears from one universe to another, again and again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always existing and never ceases to exist for a moment. Right? We, within our bodies, have a very temporary situation. We are undergoing changing bodies. It appears that when Krishna comes into this world, that he is also subjected to the changing of bodies. Because it seems that Krishna appears like a small child. Krishna, so it is described, at one point was like a small baby. And as a small baby, Krishna was speaking very simple talk like children do. And it is said that Krishna and Balaram, when they grew up like young boys, they started to walk a little bit and they grabbed hold of the tails of the calves and the calves were pulling them through the mud. And they were sliding on the back of the calves and everyone was watching it. And the kids liked it, and the people liked it. And it said when Krishna grew up a little more, he became an expert thief, who then spent his time stealing, right, very expertly. And it is said that Krishna distributed the milk and yogurt that he stole to the monkeys, right, after also taking themselves, for the reason that the monkeys in a previous life, Krishna said, had rendered such nice service, how could he ever repay them? Right? Therefore, we know that when Krishna in his previous incarnation was Lord Ramachandra, that the monkeys helped him to fight with Ravana and to regain Sita. So for this, in the next life, he repaid the monkeys with butter and yogurt. And directly from his hand. Just see how kind the Lord performs his pastimes to be merciful upon all the living beings. That is the nature. So when we speak of the birth and the work of Krishna, we should understand that Krishna does not really take birth, although it appears like that, but that he is the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sometimes comes within this material world. When the Lord comes in this material world, he's never an ordinary man. Avajanati mam muda manusim tanamasritaha. The mudas, or the less intelligent man, think that the Lord is taking the form of an ordinary human being. But that devotees understand. Krishna is always transcendental. Krishna is always Krishna. And the reason why he appears is because he is very merciful, because he's very kind. So, about this, we can read more about the merciful nature of Krishna. And it is very important to understand Krishna's quality of being merciful, because that is the quality that will purchase us. We can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a discussion between Shankar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Shankar Pandit says, my dear Lord, you have purchased us. Right? He said, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, no, you have purchased me. Right? So the devotee purchases the Lord. The Lord becomes controlled by the devotee, by the service of the devotee. By the service of the devotee, the Lord becomes touched in his heart, and then he becomes moved, and therefore he becomes inclined towards that devotee. It is described like that on one occasion Draupadi was being disrobed in the assembly of the Kauravas. Somehow or other, some man tried to pull off her sari, and she didn't know what to do, so the only option was to pray to Krishna. And Krishna provided unlimited sari. And although they were pulling off the sari, the whole floor and the whole room filled up with sari, right? An ocean of cloth. So it is said that at that time, she threw her hands in the air and she called out, "Hey Govinda." She took full shelter of Govinda. And it said that Krishna later mentioned, he said that whenever I remember how Draupadi was praying to me at that time, and how she was just fully remembering me, he said, then my heart melts. He said, my heart melts in appreciation. And just remembering this, he said, my heart melts and my appreciation grows. It becomes bigger and bigger. So this is very significant, and I am remembering this pastime again and again, right? Because to me this point means a lot. It gives me great faith and encouragement in Krishna, that he is so kind that whatever service we do, he remembers it, and his appreciation for it grows. You know, so each time he's thinking, how nice that they did this service for me. That was really very, very nice. And he's thinking again, yes, it is really, really very, very nice. Wonderful that they did this service for me. It's so wonderful. I'm so moved. And in this way, Krishna is actually increasingly appreciating our service. So that's the nature of Krishna's mercy. That his appreciation for us is always growing for any service we do. So we have heard in the Bhagavad Gita, there's the famous verse 240, Neha bikramu nasasti pratyavaya nivityate svapamapi asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. That verse, it means that whatever, it is sometimes called the spiritual bank balance verse. The spiritual bank balance verse, because whatever service you do, the benefit of it goes into your spiritual bank balance and it is kept there eternally. Even if later you give up devotional service, that stays in your bank balance. Right? So, the spiritual bank balance verse is there, but now we are presenting the interest. Right? Because it's not only is the service going into the spiritual bank balance, but there is also interest. And that interest is not just an ordinary percentage, like 4% or something like that. No, the interest percentage is unlimited. Because it said, whenever Krishna remembers the service, his appreciation increases. And Krishna, he never forgets. He's eternal and his memory is eternal, so his appreciation is going on eternally for all service done. So the interest we're getting for our service is unlimitedly increasing. So this is the nature of Krishna. And therefore, if we are talking janma karma samedivyam, if we are talking about the appearance of Krishna, and if we are talking about the work of Krishna, we can summarize it in one word and say, it is because of mercy. It is mercy. Mercy alone is the actual nature of the reason why Krishna is appearing in this world. But since Krishna is the supreme enjoyer at all times, and since indeed he doesn't have to work, natasya karyam karanam chavijyate parasya shakti vividaiva suyate, Lord Krishna never has to work. Natasya karyam karanam chavijyate means he has no work to perform. Nothing. So because Krishna never has to work, even when he comes in this material world to distribute his mercy, he doesn't do it in a way of work. I mean, you know work, right? It's Monday, it's coming. Yes, Monday is not far away. And then the party is over on Monday. Back to work, you know. It's going to be a tough Monday already, I can tell you. Because it's going to be a big weekend, there's not going to be much time for rest, and it's going to be a big, big weekend. And on Monday, you have to work, and you're going to be sitting there on Monday, and you'll be thinking, oh God, here I am. But then you just remember the weekend, right? And everything will be alright. Yes. So you live Monday on your memories, okay? And you'll be inspired, I'm sure. But you know that feeling of going to work. So it's not that Krishna is performing his pastimes in the spiritual world and then someone comes and says, it's time again, it's that one time in the day of Brahma that you have to appear in the material world. Oh no, not again. I've just been there. We're just in the middle of the Ras Leela. Come on. We're not going to stop. Right? We're having lots of fun here, right? No, Krishna. You have to go to the material world to deliver the conditioned souls. No, it is not like that. Oh God. I have to work again. No. When Krishna comes to the material world to deliver the conditioned souls, he also does that in a very enjoyable way. So as he's doing it, he's enjoying himself at the same time. He's having lots of fun. And therefore, he is thinking of all kinds of things. So for one thing, Krishna becomes a child. For one time, Krishna takes the form of a child. He never takes the form of a child, right, in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, Krishna is not a child. No. There, Krishna is eternally a youth. But he appears there in this world as a child. He takes for fun. Okay, why not? I can also be a child. Yes. But the difference is that Krishna is not forced to be a child. Nor, when Krishna is a child, is he ever childish. Right? Goo, goo, goo. We totally lose it for a while, right? I mean, when we become child, you know. Then it takes a long time before we can do anything, you know. And Your mother has to help you every step of the way, right? With eating, you know. She puts it in the mouth and then you spit it out all over the place, right? All kinds of things like that, you know. Krishna doesn't have to go through that ordeal, right, of losing the capacity to do anything and everything, which we do. Krishna goes to school, but he learns immediately. Immediately he learns everything. Immediately. And his teacher tells him something and immediately Krishna is perfect. Totally perfect. Even better than the teacher. Right? Immediately. Perfects the art. Right? In 64 days, Krishna learned 64 different arts and was very, very expert, right? Which included all kinds of things. Right? So Krishna, in that way, became most learned and most educated very, very quick. Unlike us, you know, even in 64 years, we're still not very educated, right? You know, like, education is such a thing. Right, so much hard work, right? So much difficulty. My father was an engineer, and he told me that during his study days in the summer, he used to sit there over his study books with a wet towel around his head to study and stay awake. And he said, "And you were lazy," he told me then. After that, well, I have some respect for that, I must admit. It's not so easy to sit there while you're falling asleep and you wrap a wet towel around your head. We don't usually do that, you know, in our movement, right? When we are reading the Bhagavad Gita, then after two pages, usually, it happens, right? And they say, oh, this is the signal. Yes, I must take a little rest. Yes. It's important. I take a little rest. After that, I can read better. Only 20 minutes. Yes. Oh, look at that. 1.5 hours. Time flies. Oh, you know how these things are. When my father was performing austerity, and in that way he became an engineer. That is true. And austerity is indeed, in this world, one of the conditions of life. Oh yes, if you want to achieve something, we have to perform austerity. How to escape this? We see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that at the very beginning of the creation, there was an empty universe with one lotus flower inside, a big lotus flower, and it said that lotus flower was 100 kilometers. So it was a big lotus flower, and Lord Brahma was sitting on that lotus flower. So there, Lord Brahma, seated upon that lotus flower, heard two syllables coming through the ether. Ta, pa, right? Or which actually translates as tapasya, or performing of austerity. So Lord Brahma was instructed by Krishna to perform austerity. And he did perform austerity, and through that austerity, Lord Brahma attained his desired goal. Much later, many, many kalpas later, or a very, very long time later, King Rishabdev performed great austerities, and before he gave up his kingdom to start doing these austerities, he instructed his son, and he told them, his 100 sons, and he told them, Tapo divyam putraki yena sattvam sudyatyasmat brahma sukhyam tanantam, which means that, my dear sons, you should also perform austerity. So, austerity. It is said that one should perform austerity. So, janma karma samam same divyam evam yuviti tattvataha. If one wants to viti tattvataha, viti means know or understand. Viti we still see that in the Germanic languages, right? It is closer, yeah. Wissen, witty, in Dutch, weten, very close, right? Witty, see, close to Sanskrit, yeah. It's about the only word that's close to Sanskrit. At least we have one. So, that's nice. So this witty, it means to know the truth, right? Yes, we are wanting to know, right? But this knowing, it is not possible without austerity. Yeah, I cannot change it. I'm sorry that I have to, on this festive occasion, begin like that, to talk about austerity and things like that. You know, I know it's the last thing you want to hear, and the last thing I want to speak about, but since the truth has to be spoken, I have to say it. Tapo divyam putrakyena sattvam. Without austerity, one cannot know. One cannot know the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and his activities. That one cannot know. But anyway, nothing in this world can be achieved without austerity anyway. Nothing. Right? So in that sense, you know, it's also an austerity to go to that work on Monday, isn't it? Anyway, I won't rub it in. But austerity in this world is part of it. It's an austerity to get up out of bed, isn't it? You know, or it's also an austerity to go to bed, you know, like again we have to go and sleep, you know, like, so the whole world is full of austerities. It's an austerity to fast, and it's an austerity to eat, right? That we will also experience in this weekend. You will find out. First we will fast, and then, you know, we will think, God, how long is this going to go on for? And then finally, it's the end of the fast, and then you eat, and then you think, why did I do this? Why did I do this? So, like this, austerity is there in so many ways. So, whatever austerity we perform, yes, that is required. Krishna, he wants this. Krishna, he reveals himself very kindly. Krishna has come to us here in Germany in the form of Madan Mohan. That is a very special mercy of Lord Krishna, that he's here in that form. Because just by appearing before him, the Lord is glancing upon us, and we are looking upon him. So he's looking at us, and the glance of the Lord is full of transcendental power and potency. So just as he looks, so much sinful activity disappears. So even if a blind man goes before the deity, he gets purified. So even blind men, you say, well, what's the point? I can't see anyway. Yeah? Blind. So why would I go for a darshan? Everyone goes for the darshan to see the deity. But I am blind. I cannot see. Doesn't matter. Krishna sees us. And in that way, we become very much purified. So, the deity is here. And that is the special mercy of Krishna. But how difficult it is to recognize the deity as Krishna. Archa Vishnu Shiladir Gurusu Naramatir. How much are we really recognizing the deity as Krishna? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came in the temple of Lord Jagannath in Puri, when he saw the deities, he walked full of enthusiasm towards the altar, and then he saw Krishna! And he just was ready to jump on that altar to embrace the deities, right? Have you ever had that tendency here? Yeah? Has it ever happened to anyone? It has never happened to me yet. Yeah? I could artificially try to imitate it, but I don't think I will. Lord Chaitanya somehow or other, however, became so overwhelmed by the emotion that before he could jump on the altar, he fainted. But just see how Lord Chaitanya experienced the deity. Right? So we cannot experience the deity in the same way as Lord Chaitanya did. But Lord Chaitanya, he came. It said, Apani Achari Jive Shikoile Bhakti. One second. It is said that by his life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching bhakti to us. So he is teaching us how to relate to Krishna, how to relate to the deity. So in the next day, we will be very much focusing on the deity form of Krishna. So much of our activity will be all around the deity. We will be chanting bhajans for a long, long time. I have come to that. That's one of the reasons why actually I chose for Germany this year, Janmashtami, because I like the bhajans that are going on here. And I like that meditation, sitting for a long time, chanting bhajans in front of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. It's very nice. And then there will be also the famous abhisheks, the Abhantoya abhisheks, which are like really, really organized, super, right? Amongst the best in the world. I got a hand of that, yes. And I've been around, you know. I've seen quite a few. Of course, you know, I mean, on one Radhastami in Mayapur, the Ganges had decided to come into the temple. And 2 meters of Ganges water was in the temple, and we were standing in front of the deities, and we were just scooping the Ganges water right there, and we were bathing the deities with that, while the devotees were swimming around and having a kirtan. So it's not easy to beat Mayapur, you know, that's for sure. Huh? I mean, but still, I would say that whatever is happening is highly transcendental and wonderful. So, in this way, we will experience all these wonderful things. But all the time, right, we must be there to remind ourselves, as if we are two, as if we are two personalities, right? One, the devotee, and the other, the non-devotee. It is like that. It is mentioned that we, of course, I definitely accept that everyone who came here is a devotee. There's no doubt about it, right? Otherwise, why would you be here? I don't think there are any demons here today, only devotees, right? And I'm sure more devotees will come. But we should know that we may be devotees, but our mind is not. Right? That's the problem. And we live with that mind, and the mind is not a devotee. Like, you know how it is early in the morning, you know, beep, 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 right? Time to get up, you turn off that alarm clock, and then, you know, instead of saying, Jai, wonderful, another day to serve Krishna, how nectarian, I'm going to Mongol Arctic. The mind says, oh, I'm so tired. No, I am sick. sick. Very sick. I must be careful now. I must be careful. The intelligence immediately comes to the help of the mind. It gives 20 different reasons why, yes, it's dangerous if you get up now. Your disease might increase, right? So, in the early morning, we have to already preach to the mind. And we tell the mind, no, mind, get up. There's different styles of preaching, you know. Some preach to the mind, like, get up, mind. This is the old temple commander system, you know. Out of bed, you, now. And then others are trying other tricks, you know. If you get up for Mongol Arctic, then you can get one of the Mongol Arctic sweets. Well, that's a reason, right? Without having to pay for it. Makes sense. So like that, you know, there may be different arguments that we give our mind to get up. But the point is we have to preach to our mind from the morning until the night. So when we are standing in front of the deities, right, the mind may be thinking, statue. So immediately when the mind says statue, then we have to say, shut up mind, you rascal. How dare you? This is Krishna. Right? And remember this is Krishna. So before we go in the temple, we already tell the mind, just like a child, you know, like you have a child that is not so well behaved and you go to a restaurant with this child, right? So before you go, you already tell the child, now listen, you know, like in this restaurant, right, you're going to be quiet, you're not going to say anything loud, you're not going to say, oh, such a big thing, at home we're only getting half the size, right? You're not going to say such things. You're not going to say anything about anybody sitting at another table. Look at that man, what a strange dress. You know, you're not going to say anything. Right? Why does that lady have birds on her head? Right? Yeah, that's fashion. Yeah? Some head with... So, whatever may be. No, nothing, you'll be quiet. Right? So, in this way, before we go into the temple room, we already tell our mind, now listen mind, you know, if you dare, right? If you dare to go before Krishna and think anything offensive, I will beat you, kick you, and all these things, you know, you understand, right? So before we go in, we intimidate the mind so that we come here in the temple in a very respectful way. For once in the year, appreciating, here is Krishna. Right. So it is recommended in the nectar of devotion that we must pray to Krishna, pray to the deity. Yes, we must pray to the deity. And recently I was thinking about this and I was thinking, yes, this praying to the deity helps to really appreciate that the deity is Krishna. If you stand in front of the deity and you pray to the deity, then you accept him more as Krishna. Right? Than just the statue, pranams, you know. You throw some money to do some punya or whatever. So like this, we pray to Krishna for his blessings. Because one should know that wherever Krishna goes, right, wherever he's been, that place becomes a special place. You may have heard of Gaya. Gaya is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went after his father died and where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually met his spiritual master, right, and was initiated. So Gaya is an important place. Also near to Gaya, Buddha got enlightenment under the tree, only 10 kilometers away or something like that. Anyway, Gaya is a famous holy place in India. So why is Gaya such a holy place? Well, once upon a time, there was a famous Muni, whose name I forgot, but whatever his name was. This famous Muni, he was performing great austerities to get the darshan of the Lord. And in due course of time, the Lord kindly appeared before him. And when the Lord did so, he stepped on a rock. There was a rocky ground there, some hills were there, and he stepped on a rock. And later, when the Lord disappeared, his footprint remained in that rock. And the footprint is still there. You can see the footprint of Krishna with all the marks, or Vishnu actually, footprint of Vishnu with all the marks on it, etc. So this mark is known as Vishnupad, right? So this is the Vishnupad Mandir. Right there, or the temple of Vishnupad in Gaya, and one can see that rock still today, and you can check it out. You can see the marks, and the local brahmanas will tell you buy some milk, and you can bathe the feet with milk, and we are doing like that. It's nice. So in this way, Gaya became a holy place because the Lord came down and left his footprint there. So wherever Krishna goes, it becomes a holy place, isn't it? So like that, Krishna transformed the places where he had been. And it is also a fact that the time that Krishna appears, that time also becomes sacred and sanctified and purified. That time becomes blessed. Therefore, we can understand that the time of Janmashtami is also not an ordinary time. The time of Janmashtami is a blessed time, is a special time, is a specially powerful time. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Madhava Titi Bhakti Janani. By observing these special times, Bhakti takes birth. Bhakti takes birth. Devotion manifests in our hearts. So like this, we can begin to mentally prepare for Janmashtami. Janmashtami is not an ordinary thing. Janmashtami is not a thing which just, well, let it all happen, you know. I'm wondering what's going to happen on Janmashtami. No, no. Janmashtami, you make a plan, right? Make a plan before Janmashtami. One plan should be, let's go to bed early if you don't have a lot of service, right? So that you can get up early and chant early on Janmashtami, right? Because to chant early on Janmashtami, to chant extra on Janmashtami is nice. Or at least make it for Mangal Aarti on Janmashtami, right? Yes, that must be done. Therefore, I'm soon going to stop. You know, I'm not going to go on till midnight. Don't worry. Just to keep on talking until Janmashtami starts. No, that's not the plan. But we should make a plan. Some people decide that I will chant extra rounds on Janmashtami. And they think of a number of how many they will chant. And they do it. That is nice. Some think, I will cook for Krishna. Others think, I will sing for Krishna. Whatever we do, we should be determined to do some service for Krishna tomorrow. At least that much we should do. We should mentally prepare to give a special effort tomorrow for the pleasure of Krishna. That is the point. Janmashtami is meant to make a special endeavor, something more than usual, something you don't do on ordinary days, one must do on Janmashtami. Someone may say, I'm going to read a whole section of the Krishna book tomorrow. So the whole section about the appearance of Krishna and all these things. I'll read that. Yes, I'll do that. So, like that, there are many things we can do. Or, of course, there are many wonderful programs that we can participate in. The point is that with great enthusiasm, on Janmashtami, one must try to remember Krishna. That is the main thing. To remember Krishna, to serve Krishna, to chant about Krishna, and to hear about Krishna. Janmashtami is especially for that. Right? So, this festival that is coming up is meant for that purpose, that we come together and that we are engaging in hearing, chanting, and serving. And of course, there is also time to meet all the Vaishnavas, and because it is very nice to meet so many Vaishnavas that we haven't seen for so long, etc. But we should not spend the whole day just talking this and that. We should also make an effort to partake in the hearing and the chanting and to spend time with Krishna directly, because especially on Janmashtami, we can get so much mercy, so many blessings from Krishna. And by these blessings of Krishna, can we understand Janma Karma Samedivyam Evam Yuvati Tattvataha? It is by the blessings of Krishna that we will understand Krishna. Without the blessings of Krishna, it doesn't matter how much austerity you perform, you will never know Krishna. Right? Only by the blessings of Krishna. So let us look for the blessings of Krishna by serving Krishna. by hearing and chanting and by serving the devotees, and in that way we'll surely get the blessings of Krishna here tomorrow on Janmashtami. With this I'll stop. If there are any questions, I thank you very much.
What kind of austerities do you mean? Because you were talking about tapasya. What kind of tapasya?
So, as I spoke about austerities, then what kind of austerity do I mean? Srila Prabhupada said that in this age of Kali, the austerity means to follow the four regulative principles. He said that is our austerity. Right? To give up meat eating, fish, eggs, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. That is the austerity that we have to follow in order to really understand Krishna. And as long as we are not following those, then we cannot fully approach Krishna, fully understand Krishna. Of course, even if we follow those four principles, still we feel that we cannot understand and approach Krishna. But then we are on the path, and we can continue by hearing and chanting, and gradually know more and more about Krishna. Anyway, even if one is not following or the four regulative principles, that's also okay. One can also engage in devotional service without following these four principles. But one should try. One should try to gradually come to that standard of purity. That is the point. It's not that we want that this is to be forced. That we have to force. It is not that this is these four regulative principles are mixed with guilt. You know, I cannot follow. I mean, maybe I should jump off the bridge. Maybe, I am hopeless. No. One should follow what he can follow, and then try and follow a little more. That is the point. You follow what you can, and a little more, just a little. And then, once you've been doing that, you do try to maintain that. You try to maintain. And then just a little. Then you try to maintain that. And in this way, gradually, we will be able to follow that. And we pray. Like we can pray tomorrow to Krishna, to on his transcendental appearance day, to please manifest the inspiration in our heart so that we can follow his instructions and that we can follow these principles of purity. We can pray. Okay. And he will give us strength without a doubt. So any other question? Yes?
Is it somehow known what kind of austerity Brahma has performed? Because, like, when he even
heard
his tapa, what kind of austerity?
Yes. It is said that Lord Brahma performed meditation, and he, at that time, totally controlled his senses, and he followed the process of Sankhya, right? Or Sankhya is the analytical process for understanding the cause of everything. So Lord Brahma is very intelligent and therefore followed this path of Sankhya. Then in due course of time, after he deeply pondered as to what is the cause of all causes, that is the essence of Sankhya, what is the cause of all causes, then the Supreme Lord revealed himself to him from within the heart. These austerities, in this age, as I say, we simply have to perform devotional service, and the austere part is that we try to adopt these principles of purity. That was automatically included in Lord Brahma's process. And if we want to know Krishna, yes, then we must purify ourselves, because knowing Krishna depends on purity. Any other question?
Yeah. You spoke about the spiritual bank account and then this interest. Yeah. I didn't get the point.
Interest, huh? Interest, the word interest, I don't know the German word for it. Zinse, ja, Zinse, genau, ja, ich hatte das vergessen, ich erinnere mich an das. So Zinse, ja, das hast du verstanden, dass das, ja, das Wort, das ich sage das, I'll just say a few words in German, if you don't mind. Das Wort Zinse, ja, Interest auf Englisch hat zwei Bedeutungen, ja, das ist interessant und so weiter, aber das bedeutet auch Zinse, ja. Und so, dass wir immer sagen, dass wir haben unsere Konto und dann kommt noch Zinsen dabei auch, weil Krishna, der sieht unsere hingebensvolle Dienst und als er sich dann daran erinnert, dann fühlt er sich immer mehr und mehr enthusiaster über und dann gibt er mehr und mehr Erbarmen. Und auf diese Weise haben wir nicht nur die Service in unsere Konto, aber kommt noch die Zinsen dabei auch. Und die Sense ist unbegrenzt. Ja. So ist das. Das ist wunderschön. Ne? Ist es nicht? Krishna ist wirklich wunderschön. Ja. Ja. Ja, ich habe es ja heute Abend nicht auf Deutsch gemacht, weil ja, es gibt so viele, die das nicht verstehen. Dann haben wir eine große englische Gruppe da hinten und so weiter. Naja, dann sagen. Sag mal, was zu tun. Ja. Das ist ein gutes Zeichen, dass die Leute von überall gekommen sind. Ja. Das ist ein gutes Zeichen, dass die Leute von überall gekommen sind nach Janmashtami hier. Weil dann versteht man, dass Janmashtami richtig, wirklich groß ist. Ja. Und dass es gut geht. Ja. Dann versteht man, dass alles gut geht. So, das ist ein gutes Zeichen. Yes, I said it was a good sign that so many have come from so many places. We understand that everything is going well in the German Yatra. Okay. So with this meditation, I hope that everyone feels inspired to and ready to for the celebrations tomorrow. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai.
Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai.